Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the weekly show and founder of Yes to Life, the integrative cancer care charity that's helping people in the UK learn how much is on offer from integrative medicine. My guest today is Teresa Seligman, someone who has long personal experience of cancer, but who has used her life passion to good effect to support both her own well-being and recovery, as well as that of many others. Hi, Teresa. Great to welcome you to the Yes Life show.
I am so, so thrilled to be here because you know what, Robin? When I first had cancer, I was told about Yes to Life and I came along and through you, I got a session with Patricia Pete and Cancer Options. And it was just like one of the first doorways that I went through. So I'm so grateful for who you are and what you do. Thank you so much.
How fantastic. I didn't know that. Great. So this is a bit of a first for the show. I've done well over 500 episodes in the last 10 plus years, but it's the first time I've spoken to someone specifically about singing in relation to cancer. So a bit of an omission, I'm sure you think. But anyway, we're going to put that right now. We're going to be speaking about music as medicine. Now, I've often heard about the benefits of music, particularly singing, to people with cancer. But actually, it's going to be great to spend time to find out more about why and how music could be linked up intimately with health and well-being. First things first, though, you've told me you have cancer, but how did you come to be doing what you're doing? There has to be a whole story there.
Oh, music's been in my life forever. I come from a very musical family. I grew up. Before I could sit on a piano stool, I was playing the piano. And song, I must have heard it in the womb. You know, song has just been accompanied my life the whole time. And it's so natural to me that I even in my 20s, which is quite late on, realized that it's not like that for everybody. Because it was, assumed everybody had music in their life. And then it was like, people would be like, wow, I love what you do. Can you teach me? And I'm like, what? You don't have this yourself. So it was a kind of an awakening late in my 20s, which is ridiculous, that actually, you know, not everybody has it. So, and then on the journey, the cancer journey, it has accompanied me. It's warmed my heart. It's brought me home. It's settled my system, my nervous system. It's connected me to spirit. It's brought me into a sense of gratitude. I mean, it's the words that I sing and it's the music that comes with it. It's the whole package that's really I see as the medicine.
Okay. So you always have been a musician. You play all sorts of things, guitar, keyboard, more things, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But you also write music. Mm-hmm. So you're as you described, you're thoroughly immersed in the stuff. So just tell me a bit about what you write, what you play. You describe yourself as a singing medicine woman. So I'm guessing mainly songs. But anyway, just tell me a bit, would you?
Well, it is mainly songs. I have played in many bands and we've played music for meditations and it's not always singing. And I've played for trance dance and, you know, there's lots of things I've done. But singing medicine, I call it singing medicine because it isn't just let's just sing for fun.
Okay.
Even though it can be absolutely for fun, it's with intention. It's with an eye on what we're singing about, you know, and these songs, the simple songs mostly, we sing them round and round over and over. And it's almost like we immerse ourselves in the meaning of what we're singing and in what I call the medicine of those words. So say we're singing about gratitude over and over. It's like, we come from the mind, you know, first of all, got to learn the song from the mind.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, words, got to get it. And then once you get it, I'm encouraging us to just land in the song, in the medicine of the song, in the meaning, in the, both in the vibration of the music, of our voice, because that's so healing in itself, but also the meaning of what we're singing.
Interesting. So it sounds kind of meditative in a certain kind of way, what you're describing.
Yes, and you know, I've just run a morning gathering in the community here. I live at the Leela Centre in Dorset, and on a Thursday we do a singing morning gathering. And I've got this song, "I Shower You with Love," And we were getting very playful, half of the group saying, I shower you with love, and the other group saying, I shower you with love. And we were doing movements with it, you know. And again, the playfulness is such good medicine, the sharing, the being connected with the other, the receiving love. All of those things are impactful. And those people will walk into their day of work with a little bit more of a skip in their step and a little bit more of an open heart. And that reminder, that, oh, yes, I'm loved. And oh, yes, I can love. And it's so simple, I feel. It's so simple. So much of what I'm bringing is very, very simple.
Mm. Yeah, it's this kind of bringing together of language and music and song. You know, it's kind of a form of music as old as the human race, I'm sure. A way of telling stories, remembering things, people, events. We're clearly deeply bound up with this particular expression of humanity. So can we just talk a bit more about the ways in which engaging in this is healing? I mean, this is the, you know, for a lot of people, bringing this into a show about cancer is like, hey, so, you know, let's dive into that a little bit.
Well, let's just say from the beginning, you know, it's about wellness and well-being. And this covers all kind of dis-ease, mm-hmm. I would say. I have a cancer journey that I've been on, or I am on. So yes, that's what I focus on. But it's really for the healing of dis-ease, to come back into ease with ourselves. And I feel that so much of the dis-ease is disconnection from source, disconnection from spirit, disconnection from each other. And so these singing circles, this coming together to sing, heals many of those wounds, those deep, deep wounds, isolation, feeling like, no, I haven't got a voice. Yes, you've got a voice. You know, there's just so many ways in which through a simple song, something can be reached inside that's going to empower the person to realize, oh my goodness, I'm more than this disease, and I'm more than this diagnosis. And oh my goodness, I've also got a spirit, and I can dance and sing and be well. And that's what I'm bringing. That's my prayer. That's my, you know, that's my wish and hope, and it's my experience. So that's why I share it.
Mm. Interesting. So, I'll tell you one thing it puts me in mind. The one thing I have had on this show is about laughter as medicine. And I actually feel a connection between what you're talking about and that, in the kind of letting go expression that's involved. And you just talked about being playful with your singing and everything, which has this element of joy in it. Do you want to say anything about that?
Well, we can get very serious when we're on a cancer journey, or on any journey. I can get serious, my goodness. It's a serious thing in some ways. But to remember the lightness of being as well, and to have things that do bring us back into the lightness of being, to remember that we are playful and joyful also, you know, and, you know, to be able to have things in the medicine cupboard, as it were, that we can get out, as well as the treatment that we're on. It's like, actually, today I'm going to have some joy. Well, today I'm going to sing my joy. Today I'm going to open my voice and feel the vibration in my body and realize, wow, that feels so nice. I'm going to do some more of that. And just things that take our minds off the protocols and the next treatment and the next scan and that we know, most of us on that journey, we're aware of, and we live that. And in between, can we celebrate? Can we celebrate who we are? Can we rise out of this, you know, this diagnosis? Can we rise and remember, my goodness, I'm also whole. Oh yes, I am whole. This hasn't completely demolished my whole being. It's demolishing something in my body, but in my heart, I can love and I'm well. And in my spirit, I can connect to nature, and I can connect to something greater than this world. And I can feel more alive. And I don't know, there's so much benefit to be had from having alternative ways of coming into wellness, I feel. And I am sure that it helps the wellness of our actual physical body, to be in a state of singing wellness, and focusing on wellness and speaking of wellness surely creates an environment where the body goes, so you want to be well? Oh, you want to be well? Okay, all right, I'll really, really do my best to make you well. And alongside the treatment and alongside the pills and alongside the chemotherapy and alongside the walks in nature and alongside the breathing techniques and all that's on offer, you know, we're telling our body, hey, I'm on board and I'm alive now. And no matter what I've been told, I am alive now and I can focus on the wellness. And I feel that the whole package, like your integrative cancer, that's what you're focusing on. It's like the whole package is what makes us well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Then yes, you know, you can immediately feel how being overly focused on the difficulties of your situation it points towards hopelessness, whereas what you're just talking about opens you up to a more hopeful orientation, which in turn, health and hope seem to be and go hand in hand.
Totally, Robin. And you know, the other thing that comes to my mind, it's like, it's not the length of time that I'm going to be around. It's the quality of my life that I want to focus on. And, you know, I can get so busy with, oh my God, but how long? And when's it going to end? And the uncertainty and, you know, that can really crucify me. It can absolutely put me to the ground. And when I'm living a good life, when I'm focusing on the quality of my life, the quality of my friendships, the quality of my open heart, the quality of, yes, the food and the water and all of the other things, then I feel, my goodness, I'm on top of the world. I'm on top of the world. And isn't that crazy? It's like,
yes.
In a way, it's crazy. People at the moment are saying to me, oh my goodness, Teresa, you're looking so well. And my body is the most unwell it's been so far on this cancer journey. I'm not really, really, you know, I'm not looking at the end game just now, it seems, which is great. But people keep saying, you look so well. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm focusing on wellness. I'm doing what I love. I'm singing my songs. I'm sharing them. I'm creating a course for others to come and join me singing your way through cancer. And I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in this life. For as long as God wants me to be here, I will keep doing what I'm meant to be doing. And that makes me happy. And that makes my, you know, puts a smile on my face and have me radiate joy, which is kind of, you know, it doesn't make sense to the mind, right?
No.
But it does make sense to me. And whatever's going to go on in my body, I'm doing my absolute best. And in the end, who knows? Who knows?
Right. You know, I can sense how music and particularly making music has this ability to bring us back to ourselves, to bring us into the present. And whereas the fears around cancer and the uncertainties you were talking about have this massive drive to make us look towards the fear of the future or our regrets of the past or any of those things, you know, anywhere other than being present. And so you can see how something like music would, it doesn't leave room for that stuff, because you actually, you're doing it, you're engaged in it, you know, it takes your whole self. And so, yeah, well, very interesting. And yeah, as you say, quite uplifting in the midst of seemingly very difficult circumstances.
Yeah, in a barren landscape, you're like creating these oases and, you know, holding each other's hand as we walk through. But, you know, singing together, I love to sing on my own, but also singing with others. Like last night, I did a taster for my new course, Singing Your Way Through Cancer. And to sing together, even though we couldn't hear each other because we have to be muted on the Zoom and blah, blah, blah.
Right,
that
yeah.
That feeling of like we've shown up and we're here to focus on wellness and we're going to sing some songs. And the songs were about not being alone. The songs were about, you know, walking the wellness road. Songs were about gratitude. Just things that, like, I felt they were all balm to all of us. And it was a beautiful experience.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, yeah. So you're cool, singing your way through cancer. Come on, tell us more. What do people expect?
It's a 4-part course online, interactive, on each Wednesday evening. And I've called it Singing Your Way Through Cancer, A Journey into the Heart of Wellness, Information, Inspiration, and Community. So, you know, even though the title seems like, oh, are we just going to sing all the time? No, there will be singing because singing is medicine. There will be time to share. There'll be time for information. There'll be time for inspiration because there's many things that I've done along this road, these 16 years, which people do find inspiring. They find it inspiring how I've approached the journey, how I've lived it, the ups and downs, the honesty with which I speak. And all of those things kind of light people up and give them inspiration. So it's for 2 hours each of those Wednesdays, and we will, you know, we will journey together, and I know that we will create community together, because already just from doing this taster yesterday, we created community simply by opening, sharing, singing, being present with each other, you know, not feeling alone on our journey. And it's phenomenal, really, what can happen in a really short time. It's phenomenal. So I feel like we're going to be holding each other's hands as we walk the wellness road. When we fall off it, when we come back on it, give each other support and sing some beautiful songs. Each session's got a different theme. So the first one is creating community and we are not alone. So that will be beautiful. And the second one is meeting and finding your inner wellness chief, the empowered soul that knows what we need to do and can gather the information and walk with our head tall, no matter what's going on, because we know that we're listening in to what our body needs, and we're listening in and gathering all the information that we can manage to gather in, and then make our choices from there. And then the third one is receptivity and gratitude, because I do truly feel that when we're living in receptivity, life can support us in ways which we would never have expected, perhaps. And gratitude, it's like, There's just so much to be grateful for, and living in a place of gratitude uplifts the spirit. Like it's been a practice for me for a long, long, long time. It really helps me with my day. It helps me when I'm down. I go, oh, I think it's time for some gratitude, and then that all uplifts me back. And then the fourth theme is yes to life, which you know a lot about.
I like that.
And in there, like I was telling them last night, it's not that we've always got to be in the yes. To be honest about the no is also absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. But let's reach for the yes. Let's reach for the goodness. Let's reach for the wellness as best we possibly can and support each other in that. So that's the way that the course is going to go.
Hmm. Interesting. Can I just speak a bit about each of those? They're all very interesting. So number one was about the power of community. And there's something in Yes to Life we've actually really gone for wholesale in recent years is the group work, because groups in and of themselves seem to be such a powerful medicine for people, basically. Mm. And in a certain kind of way, it doesn't even matter what the group's about. It's the group itself is the important part, because, as you say, isolation, the feeling of isolation, the feeling of disconnection is endemic.
Mm.
And it's so fundamental to our well-being as well. So straight away, a group has the power to address one of the most fundamental ways in which we feel unwell, if you like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're extraordinary things. And but nonetheless, you not only do groups, you do one-to-one as well, I believe.
I do one-to-one sessions.
And so you must be focusing on slightly different things at those times.
When I do one-to-one, what's beautiful is that songs come through me for just that person. And I listen to that and I share it and I record it as I go. So usually people are lying down. They don't have to be. I never know what's going to happen. I just follow the intuitive flow, actually. And the music that comes through is always just so touching and beautiful. And then they can take that away with them and listen to it as much as they want to afterwards.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's a kind of key part of those sessions.
Yeah. So this is a lot more to do with the music itself as medicine. So your groups combine both things, of course, so that's a very powerful mix.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. Second session, you described how this rather nice description of your inner wellness chief.
Yeah.
So that's your personal label. But it's something that's really come to the fore in the last decade, you know, since all the research into radical remissions and, you know, what it takes for people to overcome enormously difficult circumstances from a health perspective.
Mm.
And, you know, this kind of self-direction of getting in touch with your own intuition, getting in touch with your own sense of where you should be going rather than just accepting what experts tell you, is a key part, it seems, to people making a remarkable recovery.
Mm.
Do you just want to expand a little bit on the concept of the inner wellness chief?
Yeah. I just remember so well when I was taking supplements, when I first had cancer in 2010, I was taking supplements, and there was two different ways of taking it. One was just taking it, and one was realizing that if I wasn't present and receiving that medicine and really welcoming it into my body, saying yes to it, it wouldn't have as much impact, right? And I also knew that the inner wellness chief needed to be on board. I had to be present and on board with my healing fully. I couldn't just go, oh, yes, you know best. I'll do what you say. It just didn't resonate. I for sure listened. I got so much information and I got so much support and worked with many different people along the way. It's certainly not like I'm like going alone at all. But I knew when I felt at home in myself, when I was listening and when I was making the choice, and I knew when I wasn't, and it worried me when I wasn't. It was like, uh-oh, I'm not really here. Hmm. So, you know, in a way it's presence. It's as simple as that. It's like presence.
Interesting.
But the inner wellness chief, for example, so I had cancer first 2010, as I said. And then when it came back in 2019, the recurrence, I just so didn't have the same spirit as I'd had at the beginning. Because the first time I was like, no way is it going to get
right.
me. And I was just ready to pour everything into it. It was like, you know, you think you're going to get me? No way. And I was like, just full on. And when that came back, I felt like my inner wellness chief was like still resting, was still like getting over having been so present and so on the journey that first time round. And I was like, oh dear, I'm going to have to go digging for this one. And it was an interesting thing because I literally saw it. It was almost like deep in a swamp sort of a thing. And I had to go excavating. And it was like, I had to feel the disappointment, of course, of it returning.
Yes.
I had to be honest that it wasn't there, you know, that sense of, well, what am I going to do? It was like, I just was thrown. I was really thrown and I was in like, I don't know what to do this time. I was not wanting to just return to what I'd done before. I didn't have the stamina. I knew that to do three juices a day and a daily enema and, you know, just the amount that I had been doing before, I didn't have that stamina. I could feel it. But I also wasn't in touch with my inner wellness chief to the degree I needed to. So I needed to kind of go looking for her, welcoming her back, saying, hey, I need you back on board. We've got another journey to do. And I took a very different route the second time. And that was with my inner wellness chief on board. It was like honoring the fact I didn't have the same kind of energy that I'd had before. But still, I trusted that what I was doing was okay and was going to be exactly what I needed. And that was with my inner wellness chief on board. But they weren't there straight away. You know, they weren't there straight away. They were like, whoa, what again? You know?
I've done that. Yeah, no, I can well believe that. I can sort of imagine that situation. Mm. A very tough one. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, interesting. So because you've worked with a lot of people, I mean, you know, you're talking about intuition here. And for some people, it's always been their way of navigating life. It's just, oh, yeah, intuition. But for other people, it's simply not even a thing. You know, it's like they just don't know what you're talking about. It's something you read about in books, but they don't know what it is. How do you help people to get in touch with their own intuition?
God, what a good question. The thing is, people do know their intuition. They just haven't been told that that's their intuition.
Okay, good.
You know, it's like, for example, my mum is so intuitive. She would never say, oh, I'm intuitive. But I can see she is. She shows up at the right time. She, you know, something magical happens through her being somewhere doing something with somebody. And I don't know, just this. Doing things without knowing why you're doing them and then realizing, oh, that was absolutely the right thing to do. That's your intuition. Something else has guided you. It's not your mind. We make lots of decisions from the mind, absolutely, and sometimes that's totally important. But when that sort of sense of, I need to do something, I'm not quite sure why, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I think people know it, but they don't trust it. I think a lot of people hear the whisper of intuition. It's like what I call it is the voiceless voice. It's like this whisper of knowing. It's like a wind that comes in. And you have to get attuned to it. But the main thing is like, actually, you've heard that voice, that voiceless voice. You have gone with your intuition. You've been stepping out of the door and gone, no, this isn't the right moment to step out the door. You've wondered what to eat. And sometimes it's just like, no, something's saying, no, don't eat today. And that's perhaps your intuition. Who knows what's speaking? But I truly think many people know their intuition. They just need somebody to say, yeah, that's your intuition.
Well, they haven't got the right label on it.
Yeah. And trust to listen to it. Because it's like, you know, we're living in this world which if it's not textbook, if it's not science-based, if it's not this, like we're like, no. I can't just do it because I feel to do it. Well, yes, you can. And try it. Try it out and see how that feels. And then people feel so much better. They're like, oh, my God, I'm actually listening to what my body wants and needs in a way that I wasn't before because I didn't trust that that voice and that impulse was something to listen to. And so I feel all that people need is a welcoming and an invitation to listen. And, I think.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
And, you know, if I think of my mum, there's no point me saying, oh, mum, it's your intuition. I just leave her to live her life as it is. But I see where there's intuition. And absolutely, and massively. And it's just kind of, it's just funny because she's grown up in a world where that word is not used or honored. You know, it's like my dad's incredibly intellectual and he knows everything from the head. And it's like that's given so much value. And often women tend to be more intuitive. It tends to be like that. And like, you know, for example, giving birth and what to do and how the body wants to move. And they know, the body knows. And yet they don't, that nobody's said, oh, that's your intuition and how beautiful and let's go with it. They either just live it anyway or they put it aside because it's not been validated by another, which is, you know, so much again what I'm teaching. It's like, you know what you need ultimately, and you can gather information, but in the end, please listen inside to what your body's saying. Because if it's maybe saying, actually, no more, that's enough now, please learn to trust that voice, because life has got something else in store for you, or life just knows what will happen if you walk that road, and it's not going to be the best for you. So come back in. Don't be afraid to do nothing for now and listen well. Ah, God, this is, I mean, you know, this is, I say this about others. It's for myself as well, Robin, right. The listening in, the listening.
Incredibly it's important just, stuff. Described so well. Thank you. I mean, you know, all the textbook stuff or whatever it is, the facts and the figures and all the rest of it, it's not that they're unimportant. It's just that too much reliance on them is sort of fear-based, basically, over-reliance on those things, because, of course, they're none of them actually true. They're just sort of the best we can put together at the moment, you know, and they're going to change for sure in a few years' time. But the other piece is really pertinent to you and the moment and right now, but it's a lot more fearful from a certain point of view, because, as you say, society, it doesn't teach you to set store by that. It seems much too risky a place to go. But the payoff in terms of autonomy and feeling like you actually got your feet on the ground and you know what you're doing, it could be massive. And as I say, I think the payoff in terms of healing, it amplifies your potential for healing enormously.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three in your list was a kind of attitude to things, which you described in terms of receptivity and gratitude, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And very interesting sort of combination, it seems to me, that one. And the word that comes to my mind when you talk about receptivity is curiosity, actually, not sort of already knowing about things, but actually being open to finding out all the time.
Absolutely. It's that. And actually where I'm going with this, Robin, is that when I'm having my treatment, right, or if I'm drinking a smoothie, I bless that smoothie and I bless that treatment. And I ask that it goes exactly where it needs to go in my body, that it does me the best good that it can possibly do. And that opens me up in terms of receptivity. It makes my body, it makes my whole system know what's coming and receive it as best it possibly can. If I just do it whilst on the phone, checking my Facebook, you know, it's like, the poor thing, it's like, oh, I'm trying to do you good, but where are you?
Right.
Hello, are you there? Right. But if I'm present and I bless it, and what I do, I mean, this is radio, so you can't see, but I can show you. I literally gather up the goodness and I cover my body with it. I put my hands over my whole body and I receive the goodness of what I'm going to eat or drink already. Right. So it's a mixture of receptivity and the gratitude. It's like, oh, thank you. You know, thank you for what you're bringing my body. And I feel every time that it opens my body to receive it as best it possibly can. And that feels so important to me, absolutely so important, because why would I drink it? Why would I take that medicine? Why would I go and have these damn injections, you know, if I'm not going to be absolutely open to receive them? And when I was telling my cousin, who's a GP, that that's what I do, he was fascinated. And he said, God, this is just, you know, so important. And I really get it. And he said, have you heard of the nocebo?
Mm.
And of course, we've all heard of the placebo. I had never heard of the nocebo.
All right, yeah.
He said, if you approach your treatment or your medicine with a, it's not going to work, or I don't really want it, it's much less likely to work.
Yeah.
So yep. In the same vein, like to open and receive and be grateful for what's coming in. Even, you know, I don't like that injection. I'm not like, yippee, it's coming. But I do bring, because I've chosen to have it.
Right.
I stand there and I bless it in the chemo ward, you know. And, you know, the nurses look at me and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to bless this injection.
Excellent.
And I speak it out loud because I feel right. like any piece of that kind of conscious being with what we're doing has an impact. You know, you don't know quite where and how, but mm-hmm. I bless it openly, and then off we go and have the treatment. And I have put myself into the most receptive condition that I think I can to receive it. And I truly believe that's going to make it more likely to work and do its work than if I was just like, oh no, not like this again. Or
yeah,
you get on with that. I'm going to sort of, you know, have a phone call with
my mom. I completely can believe it. I mean, you know, it's documented the difference between rushed meals while you're doing something else and settling down to really appreciate and enjoy and digest a good meal. Simple things like that. So, yeah, well, I can well believe that. The last thing you had there, yes to life. Now, I thought the point you made there was an extremely important one that people don't necessarily appreciate in the way that you put it, which is that you can have a yes to life which is big enough to encompass no.
Mm.
Yeah, because of course, well, something hurts, you're not saying yes please I love it. You know what I mean? There are obvious things which are difficult, which are no, but it doesn't, there is a yes in relation to life which is big enough to encompass all of that and know that it'll come and go, and you know, it's just part of life.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean anything about saying no to life.
Mm.
So no. Yes to life doesn't come and go, isn't related to what's happening right at this moment. Mm. It's much bigger than that.
Mm.
And, anyway, do you want to say some more?
I'd love to say some more. I feel one of the most healing things is to say yes to whatever is going on. Yes to having cancer, even though I'd rather say no, you know, yes to feeling afraid, yes to not knowing what to do in any situation, you know, and then yes to love and yes to the unknown and yes to receiving goodness and receiving the understanding of what I need to do, and yes to no, you know, yes to no.
Mm.
If I'm in a full no, if I wake up one morning and I'm like, you know what, I just can't be down to do any of what I usually do.
Yeah, right.
Then I'm like, you know, I don't go, oh no, gosh, what am I going to do? Oh, I mustn't have this. I'm like, okay, yes to this. Mm. And I use that as a meditation, Robin. I'm often like, yes to this contraction and yes to this no more, thank you. And yes to, I don't want to even get out of bed. And yes, and as I do it, and as I say yes to whatever's there, inevitably off it swims, off it goes. I can't know how long it will take, but if I sit with what is and I say yes to it, my goodness, is it going to move along more quickly than if I'm like, oh no.
Right.
Oh, no, I must feel yes all the time. Oh, I must feel hopeful. Oh, I must feel well. Oh, I must follow my medicine. I must do what I need to do. And it's like some days it's like, no, thank you. I don't want to do any of it. And generally, if I give myself space to feel no, the yes returns. And I'm, of course, grateful that it returns. But I'm also grateful that I've had the courage to sit with yes to the no. I know that sounds kind of...
It does funny. Sound, but it's the difference between kind of this false positivity, which is,
yeah.
you know, like, a, you know, a, I don't know, something sort of slapped down on top of life, the reality of life, to try and make it all okay.
Yeah.
Or actually accepting what's happening. And of course, the actual key to being present to your life, of actually being there, of actually experiencing it, and of actually making all the best decisions and being intuitive and all the rest, is actually not to reject what is happening anyway. Mm. I mean, it doesn't make any difference whether you reject it or not. It's still happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a positioning of yourself in relation to what is happening. Are you rejecting it or accepting it?
Because it takes a lot of energy to ignore. It takes a lot of energy to suppress what we're feeling. And it take, and we need all the energy we can to stay alive.
Absolutely.
Stay well. And so anything that we're suppressing, it's like, uh-oh, let's go in there. Let's unravel it. Let's let it come out of the shadows, because that energy is stopping us, or it's not supporting us, let's say, on the healing journey. So I'm all for reclaiming and uncovering whatever's difficult in the system. And it doesn't mean we're going to stay in that difficulty forever at all.
No.
But it just will release it. And then, oh my goodness, I've let it out. Now I can kind of come back on the road
of
wellness and feel more honest about it. Because when we're walking and we're suppressing, it's like keeping that smile on and the clenching of the mouth. Like, oh yes, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not at all. You're actually grief-stricken. Whatever. And it's okay to feel that. Let's just be okay with where we are. Let's say yes to this life. Life is so rich. Life is huge. Life has all of these things to navigate. So let's say yes to it all as best we can, and with humility and love and you know, be where we are. That's the point I'm saying.
Awesome. What a great point to stop. I wonder if you give us a little bit of music to finish off with.
I know, I was thinking, I can't get to the end of this and I haven't sung a song.
Yeah, I think it'd be really good. We've got a couple of minutes. Do you want to just...
Lovely. You know what, I will. The song that comes to me, I won't even get my guitar for this, is the song that's the nurse that gives me the injection. This is her favourite song. And the first time I sung it, I was just singing it quietly, and she leant over from behind because I'm having the injection in my bum. And she said, "Could you sing a bit louder?" And so I sang it more loudly. And every time now I go, she says, "Please sing me the same song." So it goes like this. What if all we've done is a blessing? What if every step heals our soul? What if all we're doing is enough now? And we are whole, we are whole, we are whole. And we are home, we are home, we are home.
Great. Thanks so much. That's really great. Look, huge thanks for coming on today. I've loved our chat. We talked about some things that I think are really important. Mm. And I'm glad to say they're coming more and more to the fore. More and more people think these things are important than ever before. But, you know, in relation to healthcare, in relation to cancer in particular, but life as well. Mm. So, delighted to be bringing them out into the open some more, pushing that forward. Because it's a terrible situation. More and more people are in this horrible situation of cancer.
Yep.
More and more people need to understand some of the things you've been talking about today in order to help them to just engage with that and find a way forward.
To ride the storm.
Yes, exactly.
So we have to find ways to ride it gracefully as we possibly can, and with as much support as we possibly can. And, you know, so blessed be on all of us on that road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
Find out more about Teresa and singing your way through cancer at teresha.co.uk. That's T-A-R-I-S-H-A, teresha.co.uk. By the time this is broadcast, the current sessions will be coming to an end, but more are planned, so do sign up if you're interested. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back as usual with another expert guest for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. So please do join me again. Goodbye.